Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today I am speaking with my friend Candace Smith. You will know Candace from Instagram as Beauty of Strength. Her Instagram is beauty_of_strength. She is an amazing coach, looks phenomenal, and Candace and I are cut from the same kind of cloth. I've enjoyed getting to know Candace, and we go over a lot of things, the importance of strength training. We talk about some myths about strength training for women. We talk about how to get started, and we're also going to touch upon Candace's RV life. She is traveling the country with her husband in an RV, and I enjoyed hearing all about that. So go grab your coffee, put up your feet, let's take a listen, or grab the AirPods, put them on, and go for a walk and take a listen, and let's get on with the episode.
So I am here with my friend Candace, and I cannot wait for everyone to meet Candace. Candace and I have been Instagram followers of each other, right? And
yes,
and we follow a lot of the same people. And we are cut from a very similar cloth,
yep.
I think. And so I wanted to bring Candace on. We have a lot to talk about, but Candace, I'm so happy you're here and we can see each other. So,
yeah, we can.
And actually have this chat. A lot of things I want to talk about today, but before we get into all those things, let's introduce yourself to everybody. I would love to know more about you, kind of your story and how you got to be where you are today.
Hi, everybody. I wish you could see me waving and smiling. I hope it's a Friday when we're shooting this podcast. So I'm super happy it's Friday, but I'm Candace Smith. Beauty of Strength is my company, my brand. And essentially what I do is my goal in the fitness industry is to break down those myths, help women do strength and nutrition, lifting weights a better way and in a sustainable way. My thing is to get you to eat and lift the things. It's like, if you go to my account right now, it says, I help you eat and lift the things to get the gains that you want. So that's a little bit about me as a fitness professional. I'm a personal trainer. I have a health coach and nutrition certifications. My journey started probably like a lot of our people that follow us. I've done the extreme diets. I've done physique competitions, got caught up in those, had negative body image and things like that. I actually started running when I first started in doing fitness and cut out all the foods. I went vegetarian, which I learned later that was not for me or sustainable. So I started that route with that. I eventually got into lifting, which stayed through my journey, my fitness journey. Even during the crazy diets, I got hooked on lifting so much. I loved it. And so that, thank God that stayed during those times, because who knows where I'd been if I hadn't kept, we know how powerful lifting weights is.
Absolutely.
So, that's kind of a little bit of my story there with lifting. I love it. And I really want to get every woman I talk to and see lifting weights properly to get the goals and gains that they really, what they tell me they want, but they're not doing those things.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think it's getting better, but I think the fitness industry as a whole, those types of things are still the, like, cardio yourself, circuit yourself all the time, eat very little. It's still prevalent. It's better. But I think that still gets, you know, every time I open up my email, there's something with weight loss, quick weight loss, quick, oh, do this circuit, lift these light weights. It's still so there. So I think we still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I find that, you know, it's tantalizing, right? A lot of the marketing for a lot of this stuff, you know, you could lose X number of pounds in so many days by drinking this or, you know, something that most people, if you stopped and really thought about that, know that that's ridiculous, right?
Right.
But because the way it's marketed, it's just tempting. Like, what if this actually works kind of thing, right? And people go down that rabbit hole. I mean, you and I were talking before we came on.
We've both gone down those rabbit holes.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of stuff did you do?
Well, I remember back, I was really into fat burners, and this was back when they were still had the like ephedrine in it, the stuff that really like amp you up. Mm-hmm. So I would do fat burners. I would eat very little food. I would exercise excessively. I've done the Atkins. I've done cleanses. I tried keto was kind of like Atkins, no carbs, very little carbs. You name it, they were like milkshakes, Slim Fast.
Yes, I did that too.
Oh gosh, yep. You know, yep. So every little thing, or just removing, like I've banned carbs. I did the no meat thing. Detoxes, intermittent fasting. I tried it and it was not sustainable. It wasn't sustainable for me until I learned nutrition, learned what a protein, a carb, and a fat, looked at managing my intake without the noise, without the diets, the extreme diets anyway, you know?
Yeah. I think so. Especially nowadays. I mean, when I grew up, I didn't have access to all of the social media because it didn't exist back in my day. Back in my day, you know, that whole like, yeah, I walked to school 10 miles up a hill, you know, all that stupid stuff. Yeah, I'm that old. I'm that old person. But we didn't have this. So we weren't bombarded as much, I don't think.
Yeah.
But there were still some crazy stuff. It was more from the magazine headlines, like at the grocery store, that kind of stuff. Every headline in every magazine, right as you're checking out, you know, was, and there's still a lot of that still, but that was a big source of all of the crazy things. And one thing that I did, I put in my book too, and I don't know if I remembered the name when I wrote it, but I since now know the name, but those, I try those little chocolate square candies. They were appetite suppressants, right? and they were called AIDS. And it was spelled differently or whatever,
okay.
And well before the disease, right? So, I mean, now we kind of look back and going, wow, that's really unfortunate. But well before the disease, even we knew about it, right? So here are these little chocolate squares and they were supposed to suppress your appetite. So you wouldn't eat too much. Well, you know, they were chocolate squares.
Yes. You would rather eat so many.
They didn't. Yeah. They tasted great. They didn't suppress anything, right? I mean, so it's all the stuff that we all went through, and it sounds like similar to me, you've learned from all of this and have turned that into a passion.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to help women and men. I do. Most of my people are women, but I do train a couple men. They're not exempt from this stuff either.
100%. You know?
So I want to get out there and show that it doesn't have to be Weight Watchers. It doesn't have to be what else is current right now? Keto. Yeah. If things that don't work for a lot of people, most people. And so I went through it. I don't want you to go through it. If I can catch you to do it in the right way or help you come back from keto or which I have helped people move from that into eating more balance, eating more food that for them, you know, that they need to eat for their bodies, learning about you. We just automatically want to hand the reins or follow exactly what the diet says when it doesn't take you into account. So.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I find that the slow, sustainable stuff is just the least sexy, isn't it? I
mean, you can't sell it.
You can't. No, it would never be great for a book title, right?
No one
I hear about that. It's and it's frustrating from our end, right? Because you and I have both been through it, and we now see what works and what doesn't, and trying to get that message out to everybody for sure.
Right.
So
right.
your business now, I guess back up for a second.
Okay.
I was just gonna ask, most of your business is online.
Yep. I went that way. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I'm asking you that because we had this discussion because you said you lived in an RV, and I've got to learn more about that. How did that come about?
That came about 5 years in April 2022. Wow, I can't believe it. 2022. That's how you say it. I can't believe it. It's already that time of year, or we getting there. But 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago, my husband decided his job went remote. And I already was hybrid. I was doing online and training out of my own garage. And we were always traveling throughout the year. And we looked at the calendar, we're like, we've only been at home for X, Y, and Z. And now I'm remote. So why don't we try this RV life thing?
Wow. So
here we are. We had originally prior to that, I lived in Florida for about 10 years. And we moved to Austin in 2015. And was it 2015? I might get the dates wrong. But long story short, we started in Pensacola. We sold our house, moved to Austin for my husband's work, new job. And that's when he went remote eventually with that company. And so that's kind of how that played out. We were renting in Austin because we wasn't sure that we would, plant roots there. But we ended up loving it. Almost bought a house before the RV thing happened. So,
wow.
So kind of going back to that too, we wish we had a bought because real estate is crazy right now. You know, the market is crazy. But anyway, we are out here traveling. We're in our second trailer. And we just travel around. I'm big into national parks, so I'm trying to check as many of those off my list.
Wow.
We visit, it's easy sometimes, depending on where we're at in the country, to pick up and go visit family and things like that, and just visit friends and stuff around in the United States. There's so much to see in our country. So
wow.
And go ahead.
When you're traveling and you're not going to see friends or family, mm-hmm. do you have to find a special like RV park to go to like hook it up, or how does that work? Yeah. I mean, I know nothing.
So we do stay at RV parks. We uh-huh. like to stay. So that's where we go for full hookups. But we also like this thing called boondocking, which means no hookups. And there's a lot of like public BLM land, they call it, like out west, where there's different like places that you can go and like be in the wilderness and camp.
Wow.
So we tend to do that more because a lot, if you ever pass by a campground, a RV campground, sometimes you can see trailers are, the spots are really close.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Yeah. A lot of places, unless depending on the level or price of parks, you tend to be like right up on each other. Some people don't mind that. We do it if we need to come in and like dump, because obviously we have, our toilet and sewer and stuff like that. So sometimes we do, like right now we're in a campground, but we're at a conference. So like as soon as we can, we're getting back out west, and we'll be in some private land out in the wilderness, which is amazing. I love the nature. I love that kind of stuff. So that's kind of like how it works. And then out there, we just stay to a point where we can go in, fill up water, dump at a campground, and then get back out there. Like this summer, I spent 45 days in Yellowstone, and we didn't pay for one RV park.
Wow.
So we found enough public land to stay on to explore Yellowstone for, not all the 45 days, but we hiked a lot when we were there.
Wow. That's amazing. And how's RV life, like living in close quarters?
Boom. We have to learn to get along and love each other a lot more. Our relationship has definitely strengthened. We're in 400 square feet. This area, y'all can't see it, but I'm in an office. This the type of RV that I have is it's called a fifth wheel. It's a toy hauler. So essentially what people usually use this spot for is like their toys, like a motorcycle or some type of, camping.
Oh, got it.
Bike, that thing. But we decided when we went with this trailer for the second trailer was to have separate office, because the last time our office is hard to turn off. We do all our work on social media most of the time, and coaching our clients if you do one-on-one and stuff. And I was like, we need to get our office separate. So here we are, got an office and then the living space, a bathroom and a bedroom. And if you go on my page, you might be able to see it. Like, it does look like a house. It doesn't look like a traditional. Times have changed with, if anyone's familiar with like trailers and fifth wheels and things, they almost look like, they look like a house, just smaller, like a house on wheels.
Wow. So. That's so cool. And, yeah. and what did you do with all your stuff from the house? Yeah.
We purged a lot, which is great. You know, when you move, you do, you can get rid of stuff. So it was kind of like we was moving, which was moving into a yeah. smaller space.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got like, you know, really important stuff in storage, like pictures, different documents, those types of things. My gym is also in there too, because I had a garage gym. Yeah. And we're not sure we're going to do this for the rest of our lives, but we may move back into a place. So we wanted to keep, we got some really good equipment, and we sold what we didn't want and then put stuff in storage. So we have just one storage unit. And that's in Texas where we started from. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Big adventure. I love that.
I know. I tell anybody that's interested in this lifestyle, is get, do it, because life is short.
Yeah.
Figure it out and get out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about like your own fitness journey a little bit more. You were saying okay. you kind of dabbled in to the, mm-hmm. you were a competitor at one point.
Yes. Yep.
How was that period of time?
It was good. It came with some good and bad.
Sure, sure.
I had some lackluster coaches. That's the way I'll try to keep it. Yeah, no. Nice. And then I had a really good experience. It started off rough. Really extreme protocols. Like I talk often about how for about 16 weeks I ate nothing, but my only vegetable during that time frame was green beans.
Really?
During one of my preps.
Wow. And what was the reason for that particular vegetable?
Well, pick one and stick to it, because potentially you could cause gastric distress from other things.
Got it.
But usually that kind of thing's not to the last week or two. Eat one thing and kind of stick to it. This was the entire prep.
Wow. Wow.
And very little carbs. And when we did get starchy carbs, I blew through. Like, you know, when you eat carbs, when you deplete it, you're supposed to fill out. I went a whole not the whole 16 weeks, but only intervals where I had starchy carbs.
Wow.
Yeah, it was rough.
How was your energy?
Back.
How was your energy level? In the tank. Yeah.
In the tank. Like, my husband, if he was here, he was like, yeah, I remember them days. I would go to bed at like 6:30, 7 o'clock every night during that prep, as he got more tighter, you know, because the emotions, I was, you know, crying, hungry, moody, all the things that come with extreme dieting.
Sure.
And yes, competing is a different level of deficit, but as we get to learn and we go through that it doesn't have to be that extreme. It doesn't. So I had a very old school type coach, bodybuilding coach, that believed in those type of tuna fish and water type situations.
Wow.
So
how did all that affect your performance in the gym during that time?
I think because I was young, it was definitely not as good as it could be, but I, you know, up hopped on energy drinks, things like that. Age, youth, sometimes you won't get away with that stuff.
Yeah, a lot more than,
Yes, and it was the first time, the very first show. So I'm referencing my very first show, mm-hmm. but I was dead. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, on top of the training, I was doing 2 to 3 hours of cardio.
Wow.
Multiple times a week.
Yeah. And note for everyone out there, this is super extreme.
Yes.
Obviously not sustainable in any way. And listen to everything that Candace had to do to attain the goal that she was working for at that time. And learning, I mean, the amount of stuff that you learned along the way is invaluable. I mean, mm-hmm. invaluable for you personally and for you helping other people. Like, this is not what you recommend for anybody to do who wants to lose weight, you know, move better, feel better, improve their life. You know,
nope.
I mean, my goodness, it's for a very few people. But isn't it interesting that so many people, their first go-to is to eat as little as possible?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
This is one thing I notice all the time is that the goal of a calorie deficit is not to eat as little as possible.
Right.
It's not about lettuce. It's about, it's about eating as much as you can while maintaining that number.
Yep.
I find that that is still something the go-to is, you know, I need to eat 1,000 calories. I need to eat 1200, whatever. Those two numbers are the ones that you know, we hear all the time, when for most people, that's just not appropriate.
It's not. And I try to explain it, you know, different ways, flip it, hook it, and it still comes back to, well, I'm not supposed to eat just this little bit. If you want to be miserable, sure.
Yeah.
But that's not the way.
Have you had, I'm sure you have, but I'm going to ask anyway, people that say, you know what, Candace, I've been eating 1200 calories for however long, and I haven't been able to lose weight. What do you tell those people?
You're not really eating 1200 calories yet.
We're cut from the same
cloth. No disrespect. Yes. I'm not, you know, at all strong friends, as I like to call my people. But you're not eating that then, because you don't just gain weight. You know, that's next thing. I'm gaining weight, but I'm only eating 12. No, we have to look at XYZ and see where you're really at. It always comes down. They're actually eating more than that.
I think it comes down to, you know, you can maintain something like that for a short period of time, right?
Yeah.
And at some point you start heading off the rails a little bit, you know, and then it becomes more. And then, like, by the time a weekend comes, you're like, are you kidding me? This is crazy, right? And then by Sunday night, you're starting to feel bad again about yourself and everything. Nothing works for me. And the only thing you remember is you start over on Monday at 1200. And the only thing that you remember in your brain is how miserable it is at 1200. You kind of forget all the times that you went off, even if it's a little bit, you know? And I'm finding that it's not that people are lying and purposely being deceitful. It's like, it's not even a conscious thing. And I really feel like that has become a significant issue for people, is that they're not even aware. Do you find that?
Yes. Yep. I do. I mean, because you go back, as we both did, you go back and start over on Monday and you make it like that day. But your body is telling you no.
Yeah.
And by Tuesday or Wednesday, then you start eating more, but you still got that 1200. I only had a couple bites, you know. But it adds up, and it's frustrating when you could be eating more food anyway and not in this place every week.
So how do you approach somebody who says to you, and they've been the 1200 calorie girl, right? And you're going to put them on, I'm going to make a number up out of thin air.
Yeah.
1800, right? Is where they probably should be.
Right.
And they're looking at you like, Candace, you are crazy.
Crazy.
Because you think I can't lose weight down here at 1200 and you're going to put me at 1800. How's that going to work? I mean, I get that all the time too.
Yeah. Well, did this work? Well, was this working?
Yeah.
You're hungry. You tried to stay on it for what? 6 weeks, 8 weeks. But let's go back here. Just give this one shot. Give me try. Let's try it and see what happens. Let's see how you feel. And then, you know, if it's a lot of resistance, can we just start adding some calories? Just a little bit, you know, whether we're tracking or not, can we add an extra something and then work our way up to it? And that's kind of like how I like to approach it. And it's just I keep having these conversations and iterating how you should feel. You hired me for a reason. You trusted me to help you do this the right way. So let's do this, you know, this way and try it. If it don't work, then I guess you could go back, but I don't recommend that. You need to not be dieting forever. I think something we always say, people are in a perpetual dieting, either intentionally or unintentionally. You don't eat enough food.
What do you think about using that word? I know some people are really like hypersensitive about using the word diet. And some people are like, you know what? The word just means how you eat, you know?
Yep.
I tell everybody I'm on a Susan diet. I eat how it works for me. You know, I had people ask me, you know, they want to know what I eat in a day. And I mean, I've made a YouTube video about that, but it's like, I don't even really like to talk about that because it works for me. You know, I don't have extravagant tastes. I don't do a lot of recipes. You know, people would look at the stuff. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know,
that's what I eat.
That works. That kind of works for me and my taste buds and, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. Do you see that too? I mean, that, you know, they don't know what to eat. They want to know what you eat because what you eat must be the reason. Then they eat, they don't know how much to eat. It's just kind of everywhere. Right.
Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, I just had this conversation yesterday with somebody here at this conference. It was diet, the way you're eating, and it's going on a diet.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think that's a great distinction.
Mm-hmm. And you going on a diet that ain't most of the time not sustainable for you. We have to figure out what works for you. Like you said, this is how I eat. This is the foods that I need to eat in these quantities. Instead of going 0 to 100, what can we add that'll be beneficial to your goals that you enjoy that can help you stay sustainable?
Yeah, for sure.
With it.
Yeah. I feel like the definition of a healthy diet has changed, I think, over time. I mean, back 20, 30 years ago, for me, a healthy diet meant eating only nutrient-dense foods. That was it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I became that person that only tried to focus on that. Like, the food bubble, I call it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You only eat within your bubble. But the second you get into a scenario where you don't have control over your bubble, it's like anxiety. It's like, you know, I would turn down going to places. I would only go to restaurants that I knew had something that would fit my bubble or pretty close to it. I was that person that never celebrated a birthday at the school office because it was not in my bubble. You know, and then people told me I was disciplined for not having a cupcake. And I look back at that and think, what an idiot, first of all, I was, and how it, literally back then I wanted to be like them, right? I wish I could be like them and enjoy a cupcake. Yeah. But I thought you couldn't do that. I thought that I would be getting out of the healthy diet. But I really feel like, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, a healthy diet means it includes all foods. I mean, unless you're allergic to it, you might die if you eat it. Outside of that, it's all encompasses a healthy diet because that's what life is, right?
Yes. Yeah. All foods fit is my favorite phrase. All foods fit, unless it don't agree with you.
Yeah.
It make you go to the bathroom. Number two, food make you have bad stomach issues and you're allergic to it. All foods really do fit. I can relate. It was clean eating.
Yeah. That term. Oh.
And now I'm like, what? When people say that, you wash your food? It was soap, dog.
As opposed to the dirty food? What?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all the language, but the fitness industry, the diet industry, you hear this word going around a lot, diet culture, is because that stuff is still so prevalent. It's so thick.
Yeah.
You know, refer to everything, labeling our food. It don't have moral value.
Yeah.
When did we start attacking? It was the diets. And, you know, a lot of stuff come from the bodybuilding arena into what bodybuilders usually do come into the diet books, the diet type stuff. What most diets do, remove carbs. Carbs, you're not going to eat carbs for the rest of your life? That's what I like to say. You're not going to eat vegetables. My other one is I like to say, are you not going to eat vegetables? Vegetables technically is a carb. It falls under the carb category. Yeah. So you're not going to have any fiber from vegetables, nothing. You know, it's just all foods fit to a degree.
Yeah.
For you, what you personally, your personal preference.
Yeah. I mean, I like to tell people this, you could have a diet of nothing but Twinkies, you know, and if you're in deficit eating just Twinkies, you'll lose weight, but there'll be a price to pay for that, right? You're hungry all the time because they don't fill you up. You have no energy. You feel like crap. And I'm sure your blood work's going to come out awful. I mean, you know, awful. I mean, your health is going to be a price. Point being, I guess that it's not so much where the calories come from a weight loss perspective. Like it's not the carbs that are the problem. Yeah. It's the overall amount, right?
Yeah.
Which I think
And in defense of people my age, back in our day, we were armed with really poor knowledge back then. We acted on what we knew, and thank the Lord that things are becoming a little bit more normal and logical, I guess, even.
Right.
And that, you know, my generation, and you're like borderline of my generation, you know, you're almost there, but my generation knows more than my parents' generation. Right.
Yeah.
Your generation, and take it on down to a younger age, knows more than my generation at your age. Like, you know, more than I did at 40, you know? And so you guys are armed with a lot of stuff to take you forward. And after that, that generation, I mean, you know, everyone's going to know more and be able to. So in some sort of defense, I guess, of some of the stupid things that I did, that's what it was, you know, that's what it was back then. That was the common talk, you know, it's fat that's making you fat. You need to cut out all fat. No one ever talked about doing that for the rest of your life. Is that something that you would want to do? You know, there was no talk about that. It was all, diets were more temporary.
Yeah.
Right. A start and an end point, as opposed to lifestyle, whatever word you want to use now, the way you eat kind of thing.
Or changing your habits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff wasn't talked about.
No. And, you know, I talk also about scale fluctuations, right? And this is a whole nother rabbit hole to go down here, and how, you know, emotional attachment to the scale is such a big deal. And, you know, I was one of those people too.
Yep.
But how, you know, back in the day, nobody even mentioned the word scale fluctuation. You know, if the scale went up, that was bad. And if it goes down, it's good. Yep. That was it.
Yeah.
You know, and I relive the whole going to the doctor's office thing and sitting in the waiting room and having my heart beat out of my chest because I knew I was going to step on that dumb scale, the one with the big bar that moves across and you're praying to God it, they stop moving the bar, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it was just awful. Thank God they're all digital now. But that whole thing, because we didn't know, like, if it was high, it was bad. I've done something wrong. Do you see a lot of that?
Yes. And it's a work. It's always a work in progress with clients to get
them to
daily weigh-in. Sometimes depends on the client, depends on, or a few times a week. And then just education around it, like fluctuations, teaching women about their cycle.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not having paid attention, watch it, just watch what happens on the scale when that is that, and explaining why. I tell this another good way I like to tell women, if you weightlift that number you think you want to be, you're gonna probably not be that, but you're probably gonna look better. If you lift weights, you're gonna be heavier on the scale than if you just did cardio for weight loss, for fat loss, or most of the time really be weight loss, because depending on your diet and the cardio part, you'll be just a lighter, smaller version of yourself. But when we step on the scale, ladies, it's weighing everything. I make this joke, if you want to weigh less, cut your arm off. Like, you can lose a limb and weigh lighter. You can cut your hair. You can go to the bathroom and you'll be a different weight. You know, way in the morning, you'll be different. So it's just keep on reiterating that. And it's not tied to your worth. It's really not. It's really not.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I feel like the daily weigh-in is the way to go. You know, people get all emotionally attached to everything.
Mm-hmm.
My nutrition was perfect for 2 days and the scale went up 2 pounds. I'm like, well, welcome to scale fluctuations. You know, I mean, there's not a person on the planet that likes seeing the scale go up, you know, and if they say they do, they're lying. No, especially when you're trying to lose weight, nobody likes that. But that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that you have to pretend like it's okay. You cannot like it, but what's not okay is when you let that emotion take over, right? And don't you see that all the time? I mean,
it
becomes this, woe is me. I don't know what to do anymore. I was perfect. And why isn't the scale reflecting my efforts? You know, it's like when you invest in the stock market, they go up and down every day. You're not going to pull out the first day your stocks drop because you're afraid you're going to lose money. You're in it for the long haul for years and years. Right.
Yeah.
And I equate the whole scale thing the same way. You're investing, you're watching your investments go up and down. you know, and you don't stop when everything goes up the wrong way and you're panicked, right? I mean, you're mm-hmm. in it for the long haul.
Yep, for the long haul. And also with the scale, Susan, I love to look at other, obviously, measures of progress. Get your mind off of the scale. You can't control it, but you can control, we know, your consistency, yeah. your behaviors, your habits. Those are going to end up being the things that you see the reflection of that. And it's going to show up on your body if you are consistently doing X, Y, Z. You can't control a scale. You, like you said, if you eat perfectly, it doesn't matter the scale. Like, I'm going to do what I do, because our yeah. bodies do what they want to do with yeah. the scale.
It's focusing about what you can control 100%. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, when you start doing that and you focus on your consistency and you focus on maybe one area of nutrition or working out, whatever that you can improve upon, that you have room for improvement, because we all have it, right?
Yeah.
You focus on that, the AKA, the stuff that you can control, your effort, you mm-hmm. know, the other yep. stuff starts to kind of happen.
Yeah, it does. And that's a beautiful thing. And when you can get to that point, the scale doesn't no longer rule you. You can step on it and be like, oh, it's just, okay. That's, yeah, all right. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to get there, but it's possible.
It is. And it's like anything else, isn't it? Practice.
Yeah.
And yeah. and I also like to add on top of that is that it's also, I have a conversation with myself all the time. I tell myself to shut up more than probably anybody, yes. because those emotional feelings are still there. They don't go away, but what's yeah. changed is how you react to them. And that's yep. what takes practice. And sometimes it takes getting the logical voices to wake up and just yeah. tell the emotional voices to shut up. You're fine. No, yep. you didn't gain 2 pounds of fat overnight. That doesn't even make sense. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good to be rational.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we get really real. Irrational with the scale and our feelings. Well, my client, I'm like, what is this going to fix you being this upset? Like, and for lack of a better, I guess, term or analogy, the slashing a tire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You slash all of them. Now you back to, not necessarily back to zero, but you're setting yourself back when all you had to do is just pick up right where you left off.
That's it.
I don't care if you mess up 20 times in a week.
Yeah.
Get back up, dust your shoulders off. What happened? Why is this happening? Fix it and move forward.
That's it. I messed up for decades. I mean, decades.
Same.
Wait, you know, when you get to my age, you speak in decades now, because that's like the easiest way to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it's true. And hence the subtitle of my book, It's Never Too Late, because yep. I know you believe that. You're a firm believer in that as well, that it doesn't matter how many times you've messed up. And it doesn't matter how you messed up. What matters is you just keep going. You hop right back on track. You don't let one off-track meal become an off-track day, an off-track week, an off-track month.
Yeah.
You just get back on track.
That's simple.
Yeah. And not easy, but it's
not
simple,
easy.
Right?
Right. It's not easy, but it's simple.
100%. 100%. What do you think? I mean, if you were to tell, like, anybody out there who's like newer to all of this, doesn't know maybe what would be a good thing to start with, or how to kind of get their feet wet and get their, you know, get in the game. What are your go-tos to tell somebody like what to do? Like two or three things.
Yeah. Start small, you know, audit your nutrition, take an audit of it. And instead of changing, that's because diet say change everything all at once. It could be as simple as protein. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. So many women still to this day struggle with it. Mm-hmm. It's my wheelhouse. I love helping. Look, this is how, you know, X, Y, Z. We're going to do this with the protein. Just the protein. Start small. Start it wherever you see there's the light ain't green in your nutrition, so to speak. And start there. It could be one to two things. So if you do your nutrition, you start with let's just say we're going to start with protein, y'all. We're going to do that. And now you want to get into some movement. Well, what movement do you like? I do want you to lift. If you're new to it, I'll bet you wanted to get you there because it is powerful. There is nothing that compares to strength training.
Mm-hmm.
So if you even, if they say, well, I'm open to that. Well, let's start with body weight movements. Let's start there. And we'll start with your protein and we'll start with strength training. I literally recently with a client, we spent about 12 weeks working on just habits. Build 3 balanced meals and 2 meals with vegetables. That was her goals. And guess what? We got super consistent with that. Then we moved on to the next thing. She at times had 100% consistency rate with that.
Wow, that's great. And I bet you she was feeling better too.
Yes, feeling much better, energy mm-hmm. much better.
Mm-hmm.
Not hungry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not snacking all the time.
Yeah, that's a whole nother rabbit. You know, snacking's a whole nother rabbit hole, right? I mean, geez.
So long story short, y'all, start small. Whatever, lowest hanging fruit, lowest barrier to entry, what can you get started on? And let that be enough. Manage your expectations. I know why. Because you see everybody else. Put the blinders on what you see on the social medias.
Yeah.
They're telling you to do this, do 100 things to get started.
Yeah. And
small, and I was going to say small, start small. It adds up to the big, big results.
It really does. And I think it, part of the frustration with that, I think people experience is that we're in a world of instant gratification, aren't we? I mean, it is what it is. We have anything we want at our fingertips in a matter of, you know, seconds. And so, and then we see, you know, well, this person is about my age and look at all the stuff they're doing and, you know, da, 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 and, you know, I'm only over here doing this. And it's like you said, you got to put the blinders on. You can't compare your chapter 1 to somebody's chapter 15, or it could be a totally different book, really.
Yeah.
Really. You know, it's, we're human. We tend to do that. It's something you have to be, I guess it comes back to awareness. You know, it's awareness about everything because you hit on it with nutrition from starting. You have to be aware of what you're consuming. If you, mm-hmm. if you are trying to, you know, bull crap yourself into saying I'm eating all healthy foods, but you have no idea, like, how much of healthy you're eating. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even think you really need to start off tracking, right? Mm-mm. I tell people, write it on a piece of paper.
Yep.
Everything you put in your mouth, right? I mean,
write it down.
You will be amazed at the little bits that add up, you know? And what may happen is that you choose not to have that second handful of chips or whatever, you know? I mean, the mindless food that we just grab, you know, we all do it. We're all guilty of it. We just have to be aware.
Yep. And open to doing that and learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having actually 3 handfuls of nuts instead of like a serving and a half. Like, is that, and that's super simple just to open yourself up to looking at that by putting it on a piece of paper. You don't gotta pull out the apps right off the bat, you know, you can just start right there and let that be good enough. It's the managing of the expectation again.
It is because I think people do set themselves up for some very unrealistic stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I think in my post this morning, I mentioned one of the unrealistic things is the losing 2 to 3 pounds a week, which back in the day, that was a gold standard. Like 2 pounds mm-hmm. a week was a gold standard of slow weight loss. And it's like, who thought that was a good idea? You know, who thought that was slow? And you know, you rewind the clock to see when that started surfacing, and that was decades ago. And that's, again, part of the knowledge base that was out there then, right?
Yeah.
It was not, obviously, it's not slow. It, you know, if you have a lot of weight to lose, that's you could have that kind of, mm-hmm. you know, at the beginning, right? And as you've seen, I know that with weight loss, it's not a straight little downhill slow.
No.
You know, it's like all over the place.
It's like rickety.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to look at the overall trends. And like we said, talking about the scale, get out of the scale. I think the slower, I ain't saying snail slow, but the slower it is, the more likely y'all are able to sustain it, you know? Yeah. over a long period of time, because if you've done it the way before where you was dropping 2 to 4 pounds or whatever, one, and your diet was extreme, so we back at square one again.
Yeah.
So why keep doing it the same way? Why keep, what's the quote? Keep doing the same thing over and over, getting the same result, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because when you lose weight super fast, there's a little bit of motivation that kicks in for a short time, right? And so that gets people fired up. But, and here's something that I've been fascinated with too. There's so many people I feel like that tell themselves, well, I'm just going to lose the weight now. I got to get it off because I have this wedding to go to. I have this, I have that, whatever. I'm going to get the weight off so I look really good for this thing. And I will figure out how to maintain it once I'm there. And that mindset, as you know, is a disaster, and it never ends well. You know, spoiler alert, it doesn't work.
It don't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. We think we can do it. We think we know, but unsustainable methods will equal unsustainable results. And it always works that way, right? And so I think that's really prevalent with a lot of people. I know I lived that. That's why I was on the yo-yo train.
Right? Yeah, for a long time, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yo-yo train. Just, I got it off. The only way I knew how to get it off was how Jenny Craig helped me get it off initially. Eat very little, you know, and that works. Trust me, that works. But it works for like a certain little window of time, and then you're back to where you started. So in the bigger picture, does it work? No.
It doesn't. And you go back to it and you notice you got to get a stream. Like, I think a lot of people just override that. You didn't realize you was eating less and less. And then each time you've gained back the weight plus some. So you keep gaining more weight over time with the diets, even though you lost some, but you always end up with more body fat through each diet.
Yeah, for sure. You know, let's kind of talk a little bit about strength training specifically before we head out. You know, you look amazing, first of all, and if you have not seen Candace, you need to go to her Instagram right now. Beauty of strength.
Beauty of strength. Yeah.
Yeah. And see her, talk about what it means to you and how do you get your clients on board with this? Cause you know, some people are nervous about it because they don't know and all the benefits that you see for women, for strength training and what it will do for them, all that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, I think I speak a little bit to getting women on board with it, with lifting. I think a lot of times women are, of course, we got the myths around about getting bulky, those types of things, gaining weight, gaining muscle really fast. It really is not. You're looking at both you and I probably years. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time. I think a lot of times women's fear is misplaced. If you Google strength training right now, what's the benefits, ladies? The benefit of strength training is going to keep your quality of life better. Even if you don't put on slab the muscle, that's not your goal. Don't have to be a goal, but just the act and going to the gym and lifting or at home with some dumbbells, just getting it rolling, and you're going to have so many benefits to increase muscle mass, bone mass, warding off sarcopenia, which is losing your muscle, those types of things, arthritis, help orthoarthritis. Those benefits, that stuff alone. And then, of course, a lot of women say, well, the tone word, it's not a thing, but I know what they mean.
Yeah.
They want to look visibly fit. They want to see a little of some muscle, but that takes lifting weights, ladies. It's not cardio and circuits all the time. So I enjoy taking a woman from circuits to lifting, resting in between. Cutting back up the amount of exercises, because I used to be there too. I looked at some old programs that a coach wrote me or I did on my own. It had 10 to 12 exercises in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? Yeah.
I used to do this. Why did I do it? Like, even all the way back to the bodybuilding talk, training on no food and doing like lots of circuit type training and stuff. Yeah. Like, how?
Yeah, crazy. How'd you do it?
So, you know, y'all not going to hawk out, ladies. out right off the bat, unless you got some extreme genetics or you take it something. And if you got, you know, or some other secret, please let me know. Yeah. You know, so I just feel empowered and strong. Strength training, after I got out of the diet scenes and started focusing on the scale and just really focused on my performance in the gym, was where it kind of turned for me. What can my body do? And I know sometimes that can be because people get into chasing PRs, but it didn't do that for me. It just focused on, I actually started looking like I was fit and had muscle and I could deadlift more. I got better with pull-ups, push-ups, things like that. So there is nothing more powerful. I'm not trying to take away from yoga, Pilates, all that stuff. Do that stuff, ladies, but lifting is where it's at for physique enhancement, physique change, do a dieting phase. I said phase because you shouldn't be doing it forever, or a deficit phase, fat loss phase. But if you're lifting during that, you're going to have more potential to maintain your muscle, though it's already hard to come by.
Well, amen. And it's really too important not to include in some way, shape, or form, I think, yep, for everybody.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody has to ever love it. I mean, I think you will fall in love with it though. I do, but you may not. And that's cool too. But I feel like it's too important not to have in your life in some way, shape, or form. And touch on a little bit the difference between going to a HIIT class or a Les Mills body pump class. That one gets brought up a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to bash Les Mills classes or whatever.
I used to teach group fitness too. So I hear
you. Yeah. I mean, but it's a different beast.
It is.
It's a different beast than strength training. Touch on that for a second.
Well, one, you don't get a chance to progressive overload. There's that word. You don't get a chance, and that's simply do a little bit more weight. You only going to add more weight to your exercises, ladies. In the Les, in group fitness, you're limited to how much you can do. You're in a circuit. They're mostly cardio. There's very few classes that have you straight up strength training. I had the gym that I worked at back in the day. I was able to actually turn it into a lifting class. If it was quiet on the floor, I would go out and teach women how to lift in this group. I wasn't under the Les Mills, so I know they are stuck with stuff with that company. They have to do certain things a certain way.
And Les Mills is choreographed.
Yes.
It's choreographed to music. And so there's very little opportunity for you to max out. It's not designed. When you have a class of 20 people, you're not going to have them be lifting maximum weight. I mean, that's a disaster waiting to happen, you know? And whereas if you like that kind of class, I'm all about do it. I mean, I'm not saying don't do it and that they're bad, but I think sometimes people equate going to classes as the same thing as strength training,
training
in the gym. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, I would say it's more like circuit strength training, depending on the type of class that it is, but it's not straight up strength training. Your heart rate is up. You can't progress. It's designed high reps. Yes, you'll probably get, if you're coming from zero to nothing, you probably will see some changes.
Sure.
But there's going to be a point where that diminishes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you need to get out of that class, learn, because you might learn how to squat in there, place with the bars on your back and stuff. But now you can see after 6 months, it's time to move on. I mean, yeah, it could be your side dish, if you want
to be a little.
But
love that, your side dish. Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
You got to prioritize lifting weights, getting a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Making the body work. That's how you get the toned, you get more muscle. So when you can see a muscle, that's less body fat, which is your nutrition, but you have to keep progressing and you don't do much of that. I watch people, you can't in group fitness, you can't get as heavy as you could be for it to be challenging.
100%.
You just burning. All you feel, what you really feeling is just your muscles burning from the high repetitions.
Yeah. You're not really building as much in there. And I think to define the word tone, I mean, is muscle. You're not going to look toned if you don't have any muscle.
It's impossible, right? And I think your point of it means also losing fat and also building muscle, you know, it is one of those things. If you really want to build that kind of muscle, get into the gym, into a free weight section, you know, and if you don't know what you're doing, hire somebody to help walk you through that space. You know, I really feel like, especially for middle-aged women, it is hard, not impossible, but it is hard to learn this from ground zero online. It's tough. Yeah. And I know one thing I wanted to touch on real quick before we go is I know that you do online, but live, like
virtual
one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. And that's a different scenario than just having an online coach or whatever. It's a little different, and it would almost be equating, at least to me, to be very close to having somebody in person. And the reason I think that's so important is just, I feel like, not knowing, it can be intimidating having an appointment, having somebody there to show you, to make sure you're doing things effectively and safely, will build confidence in you, the client. And then at that point, you are ready to go to whatever online. A program, whatever.
Right. I agree. I do.
And so you do some live, like Skype sessions, right?
I do. Yeah. So essentially, I create the program, they get to see it too. And so they're prepped before we get on the call, and then we pop on, and I'm there coaching you through your lifts. And it's great for people, you know, like obviously the world we're in now. I was doing it pre-COVID too, but it's really beneficial to have somebody looking at your form. If you're first starting out and first learning. And of course, you get all the other pieces, the accountability piece, the support piece, somebody showing up with you face to face if you need that type of, you know, accountability. Sure. It works out really great. Yeah, I train a couple people in an actual Woolstair apartment gym, which is the most optimal, unless you got a good equipment in your house or your garage, which I do that too. But one of my people was sending me someone, and they were like, "Well, I only train in the busy gym." I was like, "That's going to be hard for you to hear me in different things. But if you got like a good setup at home, or you got an apartment gym where it's like maybe three people in there, we'll make it work, and we get down. And we're not just doing circuits; we are lifting. In these sessions. So
I love it. So tell everyone where they can find you out in the internet world.
All right. Well, hang out the most, you know, Floral Instagram. And my handle there is Beauty of Strength. It's beauty_of_strength. You can find me at my website, which is my name, CandiceRSmith.com. And that's pretty much where get on my email list. I, you know, chit chat with y'all over email and, of course, on Instagram.
I love it. I love it. And I'll put all that info in the show notes too, so people can find you as well. And I really appreciate you coming on. It's been so great to meet you and to chat. And we have so much in common. And this is what I love about the internet, right? Because I feel like when we meet up, because I would love to meet you live one day in person,
same,
right?
Same.
That it is going to be like a friend. I'm just seeing a friend, right?
Yeah,
That is the coolest thing about the internet, I think, right now. And, you know, it gets a bad rap a lot of times, but I really feel like this kind of connection is what is the cool part.
Yes, that's, and we need to hear and see more of this, because it is a lot of negative stuff going on, but there is so much good that comes out of the internet too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You and I will be in touch.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Take care.
You too. Mm-hmm.